Well, I am so old, I can remember a lot of things that some of you can't even remember, I can tell you. Anybody remember 1953? Okay. We're in a special class, aren't we? 1953, I can remember there was a popular song, and I don't know why, you know, I heard it quite a bit, I guess, because every once in a while it'll still come to my head, and the title of the song was Rags to Riches. Anybody remember that? And there was one part of that song that said, "Must I forever be a beggar whose golden dreams will not come true? Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you." I'm not going to preach tonight on rags to riches, but I guess, and I don't entitle my sermons very often, but I guess tonight if I had one, it would be Rags Are Riches, whichever. Most people make the wrong choices in life. And when it comes to the most important thing in life, people make the wrong choice. You can turn with me. Our text is in John 19, John chapter 19, verse 23. John 19, 23. When Jesus was being crucified, when he was on the cross, one of the things we see here in verse 23, let me read it. "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier, a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout." Now there was the outer coat, and as far as I know, I've heard people say for most of my lifetime, that coat was probably the only earthly possession that Jesus had. And here he was, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, the Bible says he reminded his disciples one time he didn't need even have a place to lay his head, you know, except on a stone. And he didn't have much. But there was the other garment. They kept the one garment, the coat, intact. And they gambled for it. But the other garment, it said that there, I guess there were four soldiers, so they said they took that and made it into four parts. And the best I can tell, I don't know if they just ripped it up or cut it up or whatever and gave each. And I thought, what good would just a fourth of a garment do for a soldier, other than just being a rag? You know, what could it have been for? And then the more I thought about that, I thought, here, right above them on the cross, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who's dying for these soldiers as well as for the sins of the whole world. And what did they do? Instead of listening to some of the things that Jesus was saying from the cross, instead of being observant to see his compassion and his love, I mean, when they heard him speak to John and to his mother, and to see the love that he had, and of course, just dying for the sins of the world, what love and what grace they witnessed. When they heard him say, you know, use the word forgiveness, "Father, forgive them." This applied to them, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They saw so much and they heard so much, but they made the choice, well, we'll just settle for some rags. We'll get something out of this. And then I think about that, and the last few weeks I've been thinking about that in this world today, folks. Most people, I see people all the time. I hear of people. And the way they live, they may think they have a lot. They may think they have a lot of possessions in this world. They may think they have the fame and all of that, but folks, in comparison to what they could have, it's nothing but just rags. That's what they have. And I know most of the people here tonight are probably professing believers, Christians, and not too many lost people here. So I'm going to turn this around, the meeting. You know, even you as I, as Christians, many times we can get sidetracked. We can get cold in our Christian life. We can get away from the Lord. And all of a sudden, what we're living for is more just rags than it is for the important things that God really has for us. You know, there's a lot of rags to riches stories. Even here in Singapore, now, I don't know these people, but it's easy to do some checking, and I checked, and I don't even know what company Jetstar is. I'm sure it's, anybody know Jetstar here in Singapore, you probably know, but I guess her CEO is a woman, a lady. And when she was a kid growing up, she was very poor. She was an orphan at an early age. And as an orphan, her grandmother finally took her in, and she was raised by a grandmother. And she grew up in fear because her grandmother loved to gamble. And she just knew every day that they were going to be homeless. They wouldn't have any money for food. That's just how she lived. And as soon as she got old enough to try to get an education, she did everything in the world to try to make it. They said that she sold cosmetics door to door, and not only cosmetics, but flower pots. And now when she started out with 3 employees, and now she has over 2,000 employees. So that's the rags to riches story that the world likes to hear about. And there's a man also that heads up Neo Group, Neo Group here in Singapore. And it's a food catering business. He grew up very, very poor, didn't have anything. He said their utilities were always getting shut off. And they just didn't have hardly anything growing up. He remembers taking wood planks many times and putting them up over the windows and doors from time to time because of that. And when the utilities are shut off, he said they use candles an awful lot. Well, here's a man that went from the rags to riches because now he's very, very wealthy. And his business, food business, catering business, is in more than just Singapore. It's in quite a few areas. A man by the name of Patrick Liu. He grew up, he was one of a family of 7. And they were so poor, didn't have much of anything. He said most of his youth, when he was little, he slept under his grandmother's bed. That's where he slept at night. And now, HSR, if you've heard of SHR, the biggest property agency here in Singapore, more than 7,000 employees, that's his company. Well, I enjoy reading those kind of stories too, people that go from the rags to riches. But I tell you folks, there's no better rags to riches story than a sinner that's saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become a child of the King in a moment. I mean, we're born into his family. We're adopted into his family. I've got 2 little grandsons that are adopted, and they're the most precious things to me. Every time I see them, I can't help think how blessed they are. They were not wanted by their earthly parents or their mother. And my son and his wife gladly adopted and took them in, and they have a loving family. They've got loving brothers, and they've got an extended family. And they do not know how blessed they are until one of these days, maybe when they get older, they'll realize it. What a change. And then when I see that in a human family, I think of us in the family of God, how blessed we are. From where I came from, I'll tell you, I was saved at an early, early age. And it was probably about 1953 or a couple of years before that. So that's how long I've been a Christian. And you talk about rich. I think I'm the richest man that I know. When I think about my life these past many years and think about family and friends and churches that I've been involved in and Christian friends, I wouldn't trade all that for all. In America, we would say we wouldn't trade that for all the tea in China. I don't know, maybe you've heard that expression. Or all the money in the world. I wouldn't trade it at all. But earthly riches, that's not what people should be seeking after. Nothing wrong with it if God blesses you that way. But we should be seeking the other kinds of riches that the Lord talks about in His Word. I'll tell you, You think about the rags. When I say living with rags in this world, I guess my only explanation for that would be the ways of the world, the material ways of the world. When we put our trust in all of those things, it could disappear in a moment. I've met so many people in America in the last few years, especially the way economy is, people that thought they had a lot of money in a retirement, in a 401k or in mutual funds, and overnight it's gone. I know men that lost everything and had to start all over when they're about ready to retire. Now they'll probably be working until the day that they die. You can lose those things, but if you're living for the Lord and serving Him, you'll never lose. You'll never lose a thing. We've got so much to look forward to. Christians are not to be of this world at all. In America, it's more and more every year, it seems like Christians are not concerned about being separated from the world. You know, we want to, in the book of Ephesians, we're told Christians, we should walk circumspectly in this world. And I had professor in Bible college many, many years ago, he said that word circumspectly, the way he understood that would be, you know, if you've got a fence about that wide and you look out there and you'll see a cat can walk on the top of that. And he said, walking circumspectly. We have to walk so carefully as Christians in this world that we don't harm our testimony for the Lord and we don't bring reproach upon the name of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything in our life that's at conflict with the Word of God and the principles and the commands of the Word of God, that's like living in the rags, missing out. You know, we're told in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. Those soldiers that were satisfied with rags, they didn't realize who was on the cross. Didn't fully realize it. They could have if they'd have been listening. Jesus Christ, who had it all. Heaven was His domain. That was His realm. But He left it all. When He came to this world, He became poor for your sake. He became poor for my sake. He didn't have any earthly possessions. He went through what He went through, the suffering and the anguish and the rejection in this world, the mockery. He did that so that you and I could become rich. Rich in the spiritual sense as being in the family of God. We have no idea what He's got in store for us throughout all eternity. I love reading in the Bible. You know, I've never been rich, and I really don't expect at this age of mine now that I'll ever be rich. My dad, I came from a family, we were very poor. My dad was a coal miner, and he didn't have any education. But because he'd been a coal miner and maybe worked in two or three other kinds of mines, he was always prospecting. Every time he'd see a rock or something over here, he always thought, maybe that might be something worth something. And he could, you know, just always had in his mind he was going to find something expensive out here in the dirt or rocks. But he never did. Not until he died and woke up in heaven and saw the streets of gold, you know. I think I'd rather have what God's got in store for me here as well as in the hereafter. You know, but we can see the word riches in Romans. We can read about the riches of His goodness, the riches of His glory. Have you ever experienced that? Do you experience that on a daily basis in your life? Do you realize how gracious God has been to you? Doing for you what you don't deserve, and withholding from you things that we do deserve. He's rich in grace and in mercy. In Romans 10:12, we're told the Lord is rich to all that call upon Him. Rich to all that call upon Him. You know, Paul said also in Ephesians 3:8, that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Folks, where are your desires? Where is your heart? Don't be tempted by this world. Don't be jealous of what other people have. Don't look and think, oh, you've got to have this and that. And I'll tell you, just a part of a testimony, when my wife died back in 2005, our youngest son had already left home, and so there was just the two of us. But when she died, and I'm sitting there in the house, grieving for a while, and spent a year there, and I just look around at all the possessions that we had. My wife is like, she was a typical woman. And I know women like to have nice things and like to have mementos, things, you know. And she always wanted to have, she never had anything growing up. Both of us came from poor families. But she always wanted to have something that meant something to her to leave to her children. So she had a piano for one of the children. There was a grandfather clock that she wanted another child, just something, you know, a special desk. Things. So we had some possessions in the house, but when my wife died, then I sit every day, I'm sitting there looking, and now to me, they weren't even possessions. They're just stuff. It was just stuff. And then after a little while, I said, I just can't sit here. It didn't mean anything. The one that meant anything to me was my wife. You know, your loved ones, your family, your friends, those are the most precious possessions you have. It's not material things. Those things became stuff. So I told all my five children, I had them come to the house. I said, okay, I know your mom wanted you to have this, your mom wanted you to have that, and everybody divide this out. You just take it. Take everything you want. I don't need it here. I'm going to move out of the house. I don't need to be in the house by myself. So I got me an apartment, the first time I've lived in an apartment, I guess, in all my life, by myself. But I told my children, if I want to see that piano, if I want to see that table, if I want to see that, I'll come to your house. That's what I do. When I visit my children, it's like Christmas all over. I get to see those things. But, you know, that was one of the best things I did because I hadn't been out of the house in an apartment for about a year. And then all of a sudden, Brother Elliot calls me about traveling with him for the first time. And we've been traveling together ever since. I'm so glad I was not tied down to this world. I wasn't tied down to any possessions that I had. That I wanted to be free. I wanted to get rid of everything. And two things that I said when my wife died. Father, in the short time I have left, my wife just died. I don't know when I'm going to die. I might be, you know, right behind her. I don't know. And I'm amazed that I'm still around after how many ever years that was, 9 years? But I'm still around. I know there had to be a reason. And I think I found what it is. I mean, this is one of the best things that could have ever happened to me. I thought my life was over. I thought my ministry was over. But you know, you don't know how God will work in your life. And I've got so much to be thankful for Brother Elliot for. Calling me and asking me if I'd be willing to travel with him. It was one trip at that time. I said, oh, yes. To me, that would be a blessing and a privilege to get to do that. And we've been, I don't know how many trips we've made since then. But God had things in store. You know, if you trust God, just trust him. I forgot what I was going to say a while ago. Two things I wanted after my wife died. And I told the Lord, in the short time I have left in this world, I want to learn how to really pray, and I want to learn how to live by faith. You know, I should have had those desires a long time before that, and I did, but not seriously, I guess. I wanted to learn to live by faith, and I am. I don't have any earthly possessions, but I tell you, I'm rich in the Lord, and the Lord provides and takes care, and he'll do that for any of you. There's no need for any Christian to worry. You know, you can't be a person of faith and worry. You just can't. Can't do it. I know you've got other things going on here tonight. Let me just go through this real fast. You know, I think of Mary, the sister. This Mary is a sister of Lazarus. Remember, she came and anointed Jesus with the alabaster box and broke it, and the precious ointment, expensive, she anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, she had seen him come and raise her brother from the dead, and she learned some valuable lessons. And that valuable ointment that she had was not the most important thing to her. The most important thing was her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But she broke that and anointed him. And it said the disciples were a little perplexed, a little upset when they said, man, that could have done a lot to feed the poor, you know. And if you look over in the Gospel of John, it doesn't say disciples, it says Judas. It was mainly Judas. And after you read about Mary anointing Jesus, and then you just go on a few more verses, and you'll see Judas. What was Judas concerned for? He went right out two verses later and went to betray Jesus, and they said, what do you want? And he said, 30 pieces of silver. He got his, Mary spent what she had on the Lord, and he went out and wanted silver so he could betray the Lord Jesus Christ. What a contrast. You know, when Jesus was, after he was crucified and on the cross, they had to do something with him before sundown, with his body, had to prepare him for burial. And two men came, they'd gotten permission, and they came to take the body down off the cross. And the two men that did that were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Yes, Nicodemus, they came to Jesus by night. He was a wealthy man and an important Jew, but he didn't want to be seen when he came to Jesus the first time. Joseph of Arimathea evidently was just kind of a disciple of Jesus Christ, but kind of quietly too. We don't know too much about him. But all of a sudden now, when it comes down to this point, those two men in broad daylight, they come out. And if they're going to take his body for burial and they carry it to the tomb, what do you think they must have looked like? Two wealthy men to take the body of Jesus Christ, that beaten, battered, bloody body. I would imagine those two men probably had blood all over them, themselves, and their clothes. But they were not ashamed to do that, to be identified with him and to take his body and take it out and prepare it for burial. Let me go ahead and end so we do have time for prayer tonight. Prayer is so vitally important. But you know, here, those soldiers tore that garment into four pieces. And within a few moments after that, something else was torn in two, and that was the veil in the temple from top to bottom. And that opened up a world of riches to every believer, didn't it? Every believer could go directly into the throne room of God, go right in to God himself with our prayer requests, with our needs. I'm so grateful that God cares for each one of us. He's attentive. He listens. He wants to hear from us. He wants to answer our prayers. Folks, that's one of the most wonderful things that happen, that we can come now directly to God. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect your time with the Lord. The more time you spend with him, the more you develop your relationship with the Lord, the richer you're going to be in this world, the happier you're going to be in this world. You don't have to have material possessions to be happy. I've heard all my life when I was growing up, you know, that money doesn't buy happiness. And then I heard a preacher one time say, neither does poverty. Neither one of them. But what makes a person happy is the joy. David said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy. He said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Don't be, when you hear of stories, people that have possessions, people have a lot, television and internet, all of that, it's so easy to sidetrack Christian people. Don't do it. Develop your relationship and your time with the Lord, that you've got it right, that you have the right riches that you need, so that you can serve him effectively to reach other people for him.